First reading this morning is taken from Romans 7, verses 14 to 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate to do, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. This is God's word.
You may like to have your Bibles open at Romans 7, and we're starting at verse 14 and 15. I would like to begin with three observations about this text from Romans 7. This is a passage that grips us because we understand exactly what it is saying. When we hear it, we say, oh yes, that's right. That's true. That's me. Romans 7 tells us about the Christian life as we actually experience it much of the time. When I read this, I felt it could be Paul's spiritual autobiography of his experience as a follower of Jesus Christ. It seems to me that we hear Paul's reality, the Christian life as he lived it day after day. And, sadly, there is no escape from Romans 7 in the Christian life, but it doesn't comprehend everything that might be said about our spiritual life. It's important that we understand that because this text does not stand in isolation, it's wedged between two chapters that lay the groundwork for the Christian's triumph over sin in this life. So, what do we find when we come to Romans 7, 14 to 25? If I could find three words, I would say struggle, conflict, and we could find war. Struggle, conflict, and war. That's what Paul says was going on in his life as a follower of Jesus Christ. I think we can say that it goes on in our lives too, if we decide to follow Jesus. We're going to have a struggle. We're going to have conflict. We're going to experience inner warfare. Paul says in this passage that the problem is not simply sin on the outside, but we have to face sin on the inside. It's not simply temptation somewhere out there floating around, but temptation in here. For all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, sin is not something that simply is outside of us. But Paul is saying that sin is something that we must wrestle with on the inside every day. So this morning, I want to show you three points in this passage about the reality of the Christian life, the struggle with sin, and then three points that give us hope. Paul says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Verse 15, I do not understand what I do. That's an amazing confession. You hear children say that all the time. I remember my children. They'll throw a rock through a window, they'll break a plate, they'll hit their sibling. And when you ask, why did you do that? They will go give you the answer, I don't know. What Paul is saying is that's true for all of us. There are times in life that we do something stupid. When somebody asks us, why did you do that? The only answer we can come up with is, I don't know why I did that, said that, lied or broke that promise. Something just moved within me and I did it and I don't really understand it. Well, Paul says many times I do things and afterwards I do not understand why I did them. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Paul is confessing the struggle within his own soul. He feels that there is a continual civil war going on inside his heart. He says, I want to do good, but I don't do it. But the thing that I don't want to do, I do anyway. This is truly the human situation. We know the good, but we don't do it. We know what's wrong and we fight against it and then we do it anyway. We say, I will, and then we don't. We say, I won't, and then we do. We make a promise and then we break it. We get on our knees and we say, oh God, I'll never do that again. And the next day we do or say it again. That is the human experience for us all. Somebody once said that Paul must have been a golfer because a golfer can understand that principle. You line the putt up and you see that it's supposed to flow to the right. You hit to swing to the right and it goes to the left. That which you do, you don't do. The thing you don't want to do, you do. Even if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not as good as you think you are. And you're worse than you'd like to admit it. That's the first struggle, to live up to what you know you ought to be. It is very humbling. Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Verse 19, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. He was saying this as an apostle and a follower of Jesus Christ. When you come close to God, you will sin less, and the greater will be your understanding of how deeply sinful you have been and truly are. Just because you are a Christian doesn't make you immune to temptation and immune to the pull of sin in your life. We don't have to be persuaded about the reality of indwelling sin, not in the lives of believers and not in our own personal life, because we see, we hear, and we experience too much. When I stand in front of the mirror, what I see is a woman who struggles with sin every single day. It is hard for us as believers to come to grips with what Paul is saying here. We try to come up with spiritual formulas that get us out of Romans 7, but we've got to face the reality of it or we'll never get to the triumph of Romans 8. The people who are made better by the power of God are the people who are not ashamed to admit the weakness and the failure and the struggle that they are undergoing in their own personal lives. The second struggle to come to grips with is repeated personal failure. Paul says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Verse 21, "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Everywhere I go, evil goes with me. Even when I want to do good, all I have to do is reach out my hand and I can touch evil. It's right there beside me." Paul uses military terms to describe this struggle. Waging war, making me a prisoner. He is saying that indwelling sin is constantly lining up to do battle with us, to pull us down, to destroy and discourage us, and to pull us away from God. Evil is not only with us, evil is also waging war inside of us all the time. We are going to struggle with sin as long as we're in this body. There is no program that will free us from sin forever. If Paul struggled, we're going to struggle. You know, the real battles are not the ones on the outside. The real battle of sin is the one on the inside. It's the one that nobody else ever sees. It's the struggle that goes on in your mind and your heart between the pull of the flesh and the draw of the Holy Spirit. And that battle goes on every Sunday. By the way, we're a good-looking congregation. We look nice, clean and dressed up. But behind every smiling face is a story of struggle, heartache, despair, defeat, victory, cowardice, bravery, fear and courage, all mixed up together. Though we may look very neat when we come to church, in truth, if we could see our souls, it might be more appropriate to picture us as a group of soldiers struggling out of the jungles of Vietnam. That's what life is like. Some of us barely make it to church because it's been a difficult week, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And in every way, we've struggled through the last 7 days. And that's okay. The truth of the matter is that healing cannot begin until we say, "There is a battle inside of me. I am really struggling and I can barely make it." Most of us are going to struggle with sin for many years. We're going to win some battles through Jesus Christ. We're going to know some significant victory. But if it feels complete, incomplete, remember Romans 8 is just around the corner. Let me share a personal example with you. I became a Christian at the age of 14 at a conference. It was a significant conversion, and I lived in that experience until I left school and went nursing. I had left all my support structures behind and saw a very different side of life, and that became appealing to me. I strayed away from my Christian life and fell deeply into sin. But thanks be to God, he had his hand on me. Through some not so good experiences and acknowledging my wretchedness, my guilt and shame caused me to turn back to the Lord and away from the sin I was in. I had to admit my weaknesses and struggles. I receive forgiveness and restoration in Jesus, but I still struggle with sin. The third struggle, to admit the war within. Vulnerability is the first step along the path of spiritual growth and maturity. So, what will help us in our struggle with sin? Paul suggests three things in verse 24 as the first steps. Romans 8 will take us through other steps, but this is where we can begin. What a wretched person I am, he says. What a wretched man I am, apart from Jesus Christ and apart from the Holy Spirit. What a wretched man I am. A reason many of us never grow as Christians is because we hear the truth intellectually, but we won't let it get close enough to change us. The truth never really transforms us if it doesn't change us. Honesty is the first step to admitting our true condition. Who will rescue me from this body of death, says Paul? The difference between honesty and humility is that honesty says, I am a wretched person. Humility says, I cannot save myself. There are only three things we can do with sin. We can deny it. We can try to deal with it on our own, and we all know how that ends up. Or we can admit and turn to Jesus Christ and there find forgiveness. Humility is admitting we need God. And verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer to everything he's just been saying about the struggle with sin. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to discover that there's a provision for victory, for walking in the Spirit, and to help us win the struggle with sin. Let's remember, it's not a formula, it's a person. It's not something on the outside. It's moment by moment dependence on Jesus Christ and realizing that his power is enough to rescue us. You don't have to be defeated, although sometimes you may feel it. You don't have to stay in the muck and the mire, although that's where you may find yourself. Through complete dependence on Jesus, there is the possibility of significant victory in your life. Romans 7 lies along the pathway of spiritual blessing. It's not the whole story, but a place where we begin our spiritual walk with God. We do need to struggle with sin because that experience is meant to drive us into the arms of Jesus Christ. The struggle that you are undergoing in your life doesn't mean you're a failure or worthless. God intends good through your struggle with sin, so that in your struggle you would be stripped of self-reliance and begin to trust God and God alone. Does the fact that you struggle make you a failure, a loser, or a substandard Christian? No. It makes all of us an excellent candidate for the grace of God. If you are struggling with sin, first turn your life over to Jesus if you have never done so. And if you are a believer, hold on to Jesus and never let go. Run to the cross and there find forgiveness and strength and healing. Let us all take heart. Our struggles are part of God's plan to make us holy for his glory and our good. Our struggles are a part of how God makes us like Jesus. When we fail and when we struggle and when we fall, remember, let us look to Jesus. Turn to him with your whole heart and you will discover that through Jesus Christ you can become more than a conqueror. Through him who loves us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your victory over sin. Help us to be vulnerable and admit our weaknesses and struggles, to humbly and honestly own our sins and failures, knowing that your glory is our good. through your Holy Spirit, strengthen us as we turn away from sin. Cause us to set our eyes and hearts on you, knowing that through your amazing grace, we are saved. In your precious name we pray.